great place to be in the presence of the Lord. I listened to the singing tonight, and since I've been here, I have thoroughly, I've told y'all every service that I have thoroughly enjoyed the good singing. I want you to be listen carefully. I've heard talented singing, good singing, but I like anointed singing. Amen. When the Holy Ghost, I did say Holy Ghost, shows up and moves in our midst, and we know that He's here. Well, I'm thrilled absolutely to be back. I want to go to Psalms, go into the Old Testament, go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You know already, some of you, what that text says. I will go ahead and help y'all. I feel good about tonight. I already ate. I'm not hungry. And I had some good vittles tonight and ate really, really good. I'm built up in my strength. And ought to be able to preach a while. Somebody grin real big. Amen. Y'all look good when you smile. And I feel good about my smile tonight. And I was ashamed to tell them it had been that long since I'd, had them cleaned. And I said, I'm going to get them done again in August. it felt so good and feel like I got a clean mouth. Amen. And Psalm 51, look with me in verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1, and I'm going to go down to verse 12. When you get to Psalm 51, you find verse 1, shout a big amen. If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand with me tonight in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. How many believe this is the Word of God? Amen. And we desperately in this generation need to look into the Word of God. And I believe you'll find some tremendous, tremendous truths founded right here in this passage. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Somebody say sin.
Sin.
And he said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I don't know about you, verse 6 is a mouthful. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Then he said in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Here's my favorite verse. It'll be my text tonight. Create in me a clean heart. Somebody say, clean heart. O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the word of Almighty God. I thank you for what you did yesterday morning and what you did last night. It is a Monday night now. And God, it is apparent to me that you have already been in this room and you've already set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray tonight, God, that I wouldn't preach a minute long. Pray that I wouldn't preach a minute short, but I would obey the voice of God. If there's anybody lost, save them. If there's anybody backslidden, let them come home. If there's any brokenhearted, let them find the one that heals the broken heart. Move among us tonight, we pray, and we'll give you honor and glory for the great things you do at Zion Hill. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated in the house of God. Look back in verse 10 of Psalm 51. David said, again, my two favorite verses in this passage is verse 6 and verse 10. And I'll probably deal with both of those verses before the night is out. But he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. I don't know if you read it like I do. Here's what I believe Pastor Key David is saying. He was saying, God, would you do something inside of me? Would you do something in my heart? You say, well, man of God, what are you going to preach? Well, if you like to jot it down so that I can't come back next year, then I want you to jot this down. I want to preach tonight on an inside job. I got to say that again. An inside job. A minister told of how that they had installed an alarm system at his church. He wasn't very familiar with alarm systems. He didn't know much about them. One morning early before daybreak, he got up out of his bed and took his old Bible, walked down to the church, and he unlocked the door and he goes to the alarm system and types in the digit code. And he thinks to himself, Pastor Keith, it's early in the morning. So he types back the code, turning the alarm back on. He walks down the hallway to his church office. He lays his Bible down on the desk, just about, Brother Edward, to do a little study before he could sit down in the chair. The alarm system starts to go off, and it continued to roar and loud noises is going throughout the building. By now, the telephone is beginning to ring. The old preacher's beside himself, and he thinks to himself, oh my, they're already breaking in on me. But he thinks and he answers the phone, and the little lady on the other end of the line begins to tell him about alarm systems. She first said, sir, are you all right? He said, ma'am, I'm all right. Well, she began to say there are motion detectors throughout the entirety of the building. By now, he's talked to her for a moment. By now, he gets to the glass doors, and he looks out the glass doors. There's nothing broken. Nothing's messed up. And he notices the police officer is pulling up in the parking lot. He's still on the phone. By now, she has conveyed to him that he is the reason for the alarm going off. And the police officer is walking to the front of the door. And he said, look, guys, he said, it's not the invaders on the outside. It's the dummy on the inside. Now, I know you laugh, and that's a cute little story, but would you agree with the man of God? Most of our problems are not invaders on the outside. It is the dummy on the inside. I knew I'd lose my manners early, but that is significant Bible truth. And David said, God, create in me a clean heart. Now, I'm going to talk to you whether you be a sinner or you be a saint. And I want you to listen carefully to this statement. If the problem is on the inside, then we got to go on the inside to fix the problem. I'm going to tell you what I deal with, Brother Keith. It seems like that in the society that we live, it seems like we evade the issue. Amen. We circumvent the problem. But ladies and gentlemen, if we really want revival, if we really want Holy Ghost salvation, if we really want an inside job, then we must be like David. God, do something inside of my life. Now, I got some good news. There was a man that named Bruce Larson. He wrote a little book, Brother Timmy, called More to Health Than Being Sick. More to Health Than Being Sick. He tells in the book of a minister that had a lady come to his church. Now, I'm going to be careful with my statements. But she comes in the church, and this lady said this. She said, sir, she said, my doctor told me that I needed to find a church. And the pastor was curious. He said, well, ma'am, he said, what kind of doctor told you that? She said, well, my cosmetic surgeon told me that I needed to find a church. Now, I know y'all think this is a joke. It's not a joke. And so she says, well, he said, well, ma'am, why did he tell you that? Well, she backs up, and the doctor had done work on her face and had done cosmetic surgery. And she walks back into the office to the doctor, and the doctor said this. He said, ma'am, I have charged you a lot of money, but I will tell you, I've done a real good job. And you've been more than willing to pay it. He said, but ma'am, I want to be real with you. And I want to be plain with you. He said, you need to find a church that loves God. You need to find a church that knows God. And she says, I am confused. I paid you a lot of money to fix me. Now you're telling me I need to find a church. Now, I could go on a tangent talking about some stuff, but I'm going to leave it be because I want to preach to you. And so here she is. And doctor, you want me to go to church. Now, doc, I need to know why. He said, well, ma'am, I thought this was classic. He said, ma'am, I have fixed the outside of your life. I have merely done a little cosmetic surgery on your face. He said, but ma'am, you've got emotional baggage. Ma'am, you've got real issues on the inside of you. And if you don't deal with the inside, y'all hear me? If you don't deal with what's going on in your life, it will not be very long, and your face will be in worse shape than it is right now. Everybody look up here. I'm about to get blessed by my own preaching. Does anybody understand? They can fix your face. They can pooch out your lips. They can sew hair on your head. But look up here. They cannot fix what's wrong with your life. They cannot solve the issues of your heart. But is anybody glad on a Monday night there's a God in heaven that can fix what's wrong in your life? Hallelujah. Well, it seems early. Somebody grin. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, and this is going to sound really deep, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you two Bible truths out of Psalm 51. And then I'm going to give you three meat and taters thoughts to hang on those two principles out of Psalm 51. Well, Brother Derek, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a mathematician. But I do know if you got two main thoughts and then three meat and tater thoughts, that's five thoughts. You're quicker than I thought you was. Amen. No, that's a joke. Don't get mad at me. Hey, here's what I want you to jot down. Here's number one. The principle that I want to give every one of us in here is point one. Jot this down. In Psalm 51, the first principle I see we learn is David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. Brother Timmy, I got to say it again. David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. Look at the text. He says in my text, he said, my sin is ever before me. But Brother Keith, I know you preach this. And I probably will not do it justice. But here's what David is saying. He said, when I wake up in the morning, my sin is there. He said, when I go to get my sandwich at lunch, my sin is there. When I get in the evening time and I get back at home and I sit down at the family table, my sin is there. He said, when I try to pillow my head at night, my sin is there. Here's what David discovered about sin. Sin is like a hound dog that never loses its scent. It stays on your trail. It goes with you. It haunts you. It deals with you. David said, my sin is ever before me. And God began to speak to me. And God began to help me. You say, man of God, are you going to give us some meat and tater? Here's my first meat and tater point. Here's, I gave you a principle. David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. Now, here's my first meat and tater point of the night. Unconfessed sins that are haunting you, you need an inside job. Well, I don't think they heard me in the back. In the front of y'all just sat up there and just grinned. But let's talk about it again. Unconfessed sins that are haunting you, you need an inside job. Now, this is going to be real deep. I need you to sit up on the edge of your seat and listen to me. This is Northwest Arkansas. Let me back up. This is an Arkansas talking to a folks from Georgia. And I think you'll get it real good. Spray paint won't fix rust. That is some deep stuff right there. You might ought to jot that one down. Hey, this is another deep principle. A Band-Aid will not remove a tumor. This is real good too. I think it's very practical. Wax on the hood of that old wretchedy truck will not fix the knock that's in the motor. Brother Edward, it'll look good and it'll, you'll brag about it. Look at that baby doll. Just don't start it up. Everybody will know. But bless God, just have them come around. Look at this baby doll. I'm telling you. Oh, it's a nice truck. And I ain't never looked at a truck I didn't want to hear run. And Timmy, then they say, start it up. Oh, no, let's just walk one more time around this baby. Hey, but do you understand the principle? Hey, unconfessed sins that are haunting you. Do you realize on a Monday night at Zion Hill Baptist Church, we've got sinners, we've got saints that have unconfessed sins that are haunting their life. I'm preaching better than your amen. Well, Brother Derek, what do you think about it? Here is another truth, and it's not, don't count it as my point. You say, man of God, what do I do with unconfessed sins that are haunting me? Brother Keith, there's only one answer. Not two answers, not three answers, not four. There's only one answer for unconfessed sins. Would you agree with me that the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary can answer, can heal the haunting of your sin? Now, here's where I'm going. I feel like I just started. And I did get the pulpit early. I wanted to commend the pastor. Richard Huff wrote in a little book called Will Daylight Ever Come? He tells of a little boy and a sister that went to go to Granny's house. Richard Huff wrote in this book, and he tells that Granny, when he gets there, Granny gave him a slingshot. Now, I want every grandma to look up here so I can look in the eye. Now, you give your grandson whatever you want to, but I wouldn't recommend a slingshot. I mean, just help yourself, but I wouldn't recommend it. And so she gave little Johnny a slingshot, Brother Keith. He got out in the woods, and he takes the slingshot. He aims, he misses. He aims, he misses. Timmy, he couldn't hit anything he ever aimed at. Aims and misses. He'd been out in the woods. He comes home, and he comes back to Granny's house. And in the backyard, Grandma had her favorite pet duck. Little Johnny's aimed at ducks and aimed at everything else and couldn't hit nothing he aimed at. Hey, now here's where I could preach for 5 or 10 minutes. And on a whim and an impulse, Johnny said, "I'm going to aim at the duck." Brother Keith, did you hear I said a whim and an impulse? Can I tell you, you don't have to be Johnny and be young to go on a whim and an impulse. Boy, I'm preaching real good. You know why it's getting quiet right now? You've had some whims and some impulses. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it'll get you in trouble. Excuse me. That's good preaching right there, Brother Derek. Yeah, well, I thought it was too. And so I had to tell myself just to remind me, just because I didn't know if you agree with it. But listen, so little Johnny aimed at the duck. He hadn't hit anything he aimed at. He aims at the duck, lets it go. Pardon the pun. It hits the duck, and the duck gave its last quack. Little Johnny goes over, picks up the lifeless duck, and he walks back behind Granny's house, and he goes to the wood pile, and he lays the duck. He covers up the duck, and he thinks all is over, all is well. He turns around, and there's Sally, his youngest sister. He said, "When did you get here?" She said, "I saw you shoot the duck. I saw you pick up the duck. I saw you carry duck to the wood pile and cover up the duck." Johnny said, "I guess you saw it all, didn't you?" That's funny to me. And so they go to supper that night, and Johnny and Sally is sitting at the supper table. Granny's fixed, Timmy. Hey, she's fixed all the fixings. And they're eating, son. They're having a time. And Granny gets done, and Sally and Johnny's ate. And Granny said, "Now, Sally, you need to get up and help me with the dishes." She said, "Oh, no. Johnny said he would love to help you with the dishes." Johnny didn't say a word. Johnny got up, tucked his head, and walked into the kitchen and helped with the dishes. The next day, every time Sally was supposed to do a chore, she'd say, "No, Granny, I'm telling you, I've had a good conversation with Johnny." And Johnny said he wants to be with you and spend time with you, and he wants to do it. And so that rocked on for 5 or 6 days. And every time Sally was to do a chore, she pawned it off on Johnny. Now, I'm going to tell you, Johnny, 1 or 2 days, Brother Keith wanted to retaliate. And she could see it on him. And Johnny would say, "Sally," and before he could even get much out, she'd say, "Remember the duck." Day 7, Johnny said, "I've had it up to here. We're doing all of Sally's chores and my chores. I'm going to go shell down the corn. I'm going to get honest with Granny." He walks in to Granny and he said, "Grandma, I don't want to tell you, but I have to come clean. I killed your favorite pet duck." She said, "Oh, yeah, Johnny, I know. I was looking out the back door when you walked back from the woods. I saw you aim at the duck, hit the duck, and hide the duck in the wood pile." He said, "You did?" She said, "I sure did." She said, "But Johnny," I love this line, "Johnny, I love you, and I forgave you the very moment you killed my duck." But I was wondering, here's the preaching material. I was wondering, Johnny, how long was you going to make Sally or let Sally make a slave out of you? Could I talk to every one of us in this room? Could I take you outside the city walls of Jerusalem where a man bled and died on a tree so that you could be free? He gave the greatest gift the world has ever known. And everybody look up here, and you need to know this. He saw that adulterous affair. He saw that mistake. He saw you live in sin. He saw you walk contrary to the will of God. You don't hear me? He saw you live dishonestly. He saw you lied. He saw you messed up. But can I preach to you? He loved you enough. He still bled. He still died. He still took your place. Is anybody glad? He can heal the haunting of your life. Woo! Now, Brother Derek, are you getting anywhere? I can't believe how fast I'm preaching. Boy, I was hoping for an amen or a grunt. But I will say this, Pastor. I won't talk to every one of us. Can I tell you restoration, Timmy, whether it's for me or you or anybody in this building, restoration happens when repentance is as loud as the offense. I didn't even get a grunt. In other words, Pastor Keith, I believe when we get serious about our sin, God will deal tenderly with us. You say, preacher, do you have any illustrations? I've got several. I can say this and quote it to you, and I know your pastor's quoted it to you. The Bible said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you know what that means? Hey, do you know what that means? God won't bless sin for Lloyd. God won't bless sin for Stennett. Well, Brother Derek, I don't like this kind of preaching. And normally, most folks don't like it when it deals with us. But can I tell you, Brother Edward, we desperately need to hear that God is tender and merciful when we repent. Amen. Now, here's my second. I'm telling you, I'm going to check the time. Oh, yes, I feel like it's record pace. Here's my second principle. Number one, David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. Here's principle number two. I found it in verse 12. Look with me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm going to try to stay calm. I'm not sure I can. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Number one, principle number one, David is overwhelmed by the burden of regret. Number two, principle number two, David is overjoyed by the blessing of repentance. My, I don't know how you're doing it, but you're staying calm, and I brag on you. Hey, he is overjoyed by the blessing of repentance. Does anybody remember when you were guilty? Does anybody remember when your back was against the wall? Does anybody remember when you were stubborn and you were hard-headed? Y'all hear me? And you remember you were evil, man. You were messed up, wrapped up in sin, controlled by sin. But do you remember, Timmy, when you came clean and you said, God, I'm a sinner, and God, I need salvation? Do you remember being overjoyed by the blessing of repentance? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Derek, if I counted correct, you have given us two principles. You have given us only one meat and tater point. Are you finally going to get to another meat and tater point? Well, I'm trying to get there. I just got to give you one little story, and then I'll get to that second meat and tater point. You know that we're clicking these points off pretty good. But a wonderful Spanish story of a father and a son that had become estranged. The son had ran away in rebellion and disobedience. It broke the father's heart. Brother Lloyd, he went out to find this boy. He looked all over Spain. He couldn't find his boy. He finally decides to go to Madrid, Spain, the largest city in all of Spain. When he gets there, he'd searched for months and he could not find his son. Brother Keith, he decides to do this. He said, I'm going to put a little advertisement in the local paper in Madrid, Spain. Here's what the advertisement read. Here is the reading of the advertisement. It read like this. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office on Saturday at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. The daddy got to the newspaper office way before noon. But before noon could get there, I want you to look up here. Much to the surprise of the father, 800 young boys named Paco. Hold up. Woo! Woo! Why are you shouting? Because nobody else did. And I'm going to tell you, you had a good time to shout. Hey, listen, you say, Brother Derek, I don't get it. 800 boys, why did they come? Because they read in the paper, all is forgiven. I love you, your father. Here's what every boy was looking for, Timmy. They were all looking for a father, and they were all looking for forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you've done. Hallelujah. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how many hearts you've broken. You broke your daddy's heart. You broke your mama's heart. You broke your kinfolk's heart. You broke your wife's heart. Look up here, son. You broke your own heart. But listen to me. Do you understand? There's a loving father that's in this sanctuary. And he loves you. And he'll forgive you if you come to him. Woo. I said, I like that right there. Amen. Hey, now listen to me. I won't give you some content. Unconfessed sins that are haunting you. You need an inside job. Here's that little thought I want to give you. Unsurrendered struggles that are hindering you. You need an inside job. I don't think they heard me. Unsurrendered struggles that hinder you. You need an inside job. The best I can give you is Peter. Peter, I'm going to tell you, we probably got other denominations in here, and I hope you don't get offended at this. Peter was a Free Will Baptist. 100% Free Will Baptist. I mean, he'd say something way before he thought about it. Yes. Granny taught me I thought a lot and said nothing. I'm going to tell you something. That's a good statement right there. Sometimes, but I'm dealing with a generation that says everything and thinks nothing. I mean, I don't even get on Facebook to see some of it, but I'm telling you, they'll say anything. I'm getting more amens than I anticipated. Hey, and I ain't against Facebook, and I'm not against, hey, there's a lot of powerful things and a lot of tools. I got preachers that share stuff and talk to other preachers and other people. It's great, but listen to me. Peter was saying this one day, Brother Keith. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I said, casting all your care. Thought about in the New Testament, Jesus calls his disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were all out there casting nets. And I want you to watch this. The word casting there means, watch this, the word casting there, they were casting their nets. It means to thrust away from you. Now, Peter said, cast your cares upon him,
for he cares for you. And then in the New Testament, we read about Andrew and James and John, and they're out casting their nets. And then one day, I was reading when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he went a little further, Brother Keith, and one evangelist in the Bible said, he went about a stone's throw. That's the same word for cast. Now, I know this wouldn't be good on the CD, but do you know what some of you need to do?
Amen.
Now, I didn't go over as good as I thought it would. Means, Brother Edward, I get it out of my hands. I've got to learn to. Cast it. Can I tell you, I'm a preacher that's realized in my own ministry, in my own life, and in every setting, I have to learn to cast it. Hey, and you know, when Peter says to me, he says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Do you realize Peter is a fisherman? His craft colors his language. Cast your care upon him. I said, okay, God, that's meat and taters. That's a great thought. I was reading one day about Corrie Ten Boom. She had a struggle that was overwhelming to her. Before you raise your hand, I'll be the first. Have you ever had a struggle that was overwhelming to you? Hallelujah. We all have. It's bigger than you. And she shared with a preacher of her struggle that bothered her severely. And he said to her, he said, Corrie, give me a few days. Let me ponder your struggle. Let me pray about your struggle. And he said, I'll talk to you in the next couple of days. Corrie came back to the preacher, and here's what he told her. He said, dear Corrie, he said, there is a bell in the church tower. He said, it is above the church in every service. A young man will climb the belfry. He'll take hold of the rope, dear Corrie. He'll pull the rope. And every time he pulls the rope, the bell will ring. And by, he pulls the rope, the bell will ring. He pulls the rope, the bell will ring. He said, but eventually, Corrie, he will let go of the rope. He said, and the clapper will become steel. And the bell will become silent. She said, sir, preacher, I don't understand how that applies to me. He says, every time, Corrie, you deal with that struggle, you grab the rope and you begin to pull it. And the bell rings in your ears and it frustrates you and it bothers you. Corrie, you got to let go of the rope. Preacher, I told myself, that is preaching material. Everybody look up here. Can I tell you what will happen if somebody hurts you? You're at the gas station pumping gas at the 7-Eleven. Or at the get and go. I don't know. What do y'all got around here? Help me. Yeah, that's it. That right there. That's the weird place we go down here in South Georgia. I couldn't hear none of it. There's about five of them. Keith, what's a?
Flash Foods.
Okay, you're at Flash Foods in South Georgia. Hey, y'all believe what you want to. Y'all just act so spiritual and holy. Act like y'all ain't got any issues down here. Well, I'm going to get beyond that because I feel like you got some here too. And you're down there pumping gas. And the man or the woman that you feel like hurt you the most comes out around the corner. And y'all act like nothing, but I'm going to tell you what you do. You grab the rope. And the bell rings in your ear. Hey, and before you leave the fast food, before you leave the gas station, you're mad and you're upset. If you agree with me, shout amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I want you to hear me. Unsurrendered struggles that hinder you, you need an inside job. Now I want you to listen to me. I close. Now that really don't mean anything, but it sounds real good and people like to hear it. Unresolved situations that are hurting you, you need an inside job. Unresolved situations that are hurting you, you need an inside job. Do you remember that text, that golden text? Bring thy gift to the altar. Remember your brother. He said, go first, then come. I believe this, Pastor Keith. I believe the altar will give a true reflection of who we really are. I believe the altar and that word of God will show us who we really are. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm dealing with in 2015? You know why people don't ever feel convicted in church anymore? And somebody said, well, Brother Derek, he said, you know, we need a good old dose of Holy Ghost conviction. I agree 100%. But I'm going to tell you what will help you. Do you realize if the altar and that book is like a mirror, do you know what that tells me? Hey, don't do this. I shouldn't even tell you. My daddy told me, he said, son, if you want to get depressed, lay a mirror on your bed and lean over it. Now, if you ain't into depression, don't lay a mirror on your bed. And I'm going to tell you, you'll see triple chins and, I mean, you'll see stuff you're not prepared for. Hey, but hey, don't laugh at me. Hey, I go to the mirror every day. I look in the mirror. And if I didn't have a mirror, I would forget that I'm bald. Now, everybody can't pull this look off. Somebody. My wife ain't here to correct me. She'd heckle me right there. But I'm just telling you, here, I made it a little funny. But Brother Keith, here's what I'm telling you. If the altar's a mirror reflection and the Word of God is a mirror reflection, do you know what that means? Do you know why people are not bothered by the way they live? They never come to the altar and they never get in the mirror of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look in that mirror, it'll show every blemish. It'll show every weakness. Y'all hear me? Would you agree with me? We need to get in the Word of God. And it'll deal with who we really are. Now, I said I would close in a will. Unresolved situations that are hurting you. You need an inside job. I close with this story. Two identical twins were inseparable as they were growing up. They had a daddy that owned a hardware store. Kent Hughes told in an unusual, remarkable story. Neither one of the boys married Brother Keith. The father later gave both of the boys the business. One day, I'll date the story, you'll get it. One day, one of the brothers was helping a fella, and he bought a dollar's worth of hardware. And that one brother laid the dollar bill on the cash register. He walked that man out and helped him load his truck or car, and then he walks back in the store, continued to stock shelves, and he forgot about the dollar bill. About an hour or two later, that brother that put the dollar bill in the cash register walked to the cash register and the dollar bill was gone. He quizzed the identical twin brother. He said, brother, did you happen to find a dollar bill on the cash register? The other brother said, I never saw no dollar bill. I hadn't really paid no mind, but I didn't see no dollar bill. That rocked along for an hour. Timmy, 2 hours went by. That same brother said, are you sure, brother, that you didn't find a dollar bill? Finally, he said, listen. I did not find a dollar bill. Brother Keith, the one brother, accused the other brother of taking the dollar bill. He said, I'm telling you, Bubba, I never saw the dollar bill. Well, they became charges and countercharges. And everybody look up here. Here's how tragic the story gets. They get so heated. They get so divided. They got so mad at one another. They built a petition in the middle of the store. Brother Edward, one brother owned this side of the store. The other brother owned that side of the store. They didn't talk for 20 years. 20 years. And everybody look back up here so I can look you in the eye. Do you remember, Brother Keith? It's over $1 bill. I hear people in the church say, well, I wouldn't fight over such silly stuff. Thank God I'm an evangelist. Amen. And I hear husbands and wives. I wouldn't fight. It's amazing what we fight over, isn't it? Don't y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We fight over stuff that don't mean nothing. And so here they are. They're divided. They're upset. They're mad at one another. They don't talk for 20 years. Here's the conclusion of the story. Here is the conclusion. I promise I'm done. So one day they still have the petition. One brother's on one side, the other brother's on the other side. A man drives up in a fancy car. He had a three-piece suit. He walks into the store. He meets that one twin brother, and he says this. He said, Have you been here for 20 years? The man said, we've been here over 20 years. He said, I come to make restitution. He said, 20 years ago, I was riding the rails. I hadn't ate in 3 days and I was hungry. I walked in the back of the store and I came in and I found a dollar bill on the cash register. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew better, but I was hungry. I was homeless. I was jobless. I didn't have any money, and I was so hungry. And I stole the dollar bill, and I come to make it right. I come to make amends. It's haunted me for 20-something years. Brother Edward, the brother, began to weep. Tears began to plow furrows down his face. He said, I'm not worried about the dollar bill, but would you walk across the petition and go in there and tell that man on the other side of the petition what you just told me? He said, sure. He walks across the petition, walks to a man that looks a whole lot like the man he just talked to. He said, 20 years ago, I was riding the rails. I was jobless. I was homeless. I was hungry. I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew better. But I found a dollar bill on the left-hand side of the cat. I took it. I ate. But I come today to make restitution. Two brothers that hadn't talked in 20 years fell on their faces, hugged one another to me, and wept for 5 to 10, 15 minutes. And said, Bub, I'm sorry. I should have never accused you. And I want to make it right. And I need everybody to look up here. I'm going to give you a Bible verse. Do you realize if I don't forgive, neither will my Father forgive me? Can I look you all in the eye? And I'm going to tell you, some folks don't like this verse. They get mad at me when I quote it. Can I tell you what that means? In plain old Millwood, Zion Hill, amen. Talk. If I don't forgive, I forfeit my own forgiveness. Now I'm closing right here. Here's one of the most significant statements of the night. Brother Edward, a mountain of debt met a mountain of mercy. Now I have a mountain of responsibility. Whew. Amen. Would you agree with me tonight? We need an inside job. Stand all over the room. Piano player, come. Father, I ask you tonight to move in the invitation. God, I don't know if they got something that haunts them. I don't know if they got something that hinders them. I don't know if they got something that hurts them. David was overwhelmed by the burden of regret. David was overjoyed by the blessing of repentance. Move tonight in this invitation. Anoint this sister as she plays, and anoint in this invitation. God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost, the sweet Spirit of God, that's been in this room moving every man, every lady, every boy, and every girl. We'll give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. She's going to play softly, and as she does, I'll just word it like this. Hey, you know what, Derek? I've got a sin or sins that haunt me, that have haunted me, and I need that haunting sin to be taken care of tonight. And I know that it is real, and I know that it is there, and I need my sins to be washed away. That would be you, mom or dad or grandpa, granny. That'd be you, teenager. That'd be you, young man or lady. How many honest hands would go real high? I promise I won't embarrass you. I've got a haunting sin. Derek's in it. It haunts me. Bless you. Anybody, I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, sir. I will not embarrass you, ma'am. Hey, I got a haunting sin. Hey, Derek, I've got something tonight that hinders me. An unresolved situation. I grab the rope and the bell rings to nauseam, and it brings my stomach to a turning motion. And my ears are ringing because I have grabbed the bell, or I've grabbed the rope, and the bell rings over and over again. And I need an inside job, and I need to let go of the rope. I need to cast my care. I need to get it out of my hand, a definite action. That would be you, dad or mom, grandma or grandpa. That would be you, and you're honest enough to raise your hand. How many honest hands all over this room would go real high? Come on. Thank you, son. Thank you, mama. Anybody else? Thank you. Real quick, I promise you, I'm going to get out of the way. Hey, Derek, I not only have something that haunts me, I not only have something that hinders, I've got something tonight that hurts me, and I need an inside job. Now, I'm going to give this invitation. Whether you raise your hand or you didn't, Brother Keith is going to help us, while he sings, if you raise your hand, or even if you didn't, maybe a mountain of debt meant a mountain of mercy, and now you've got a mountain of responsibility. You need to forgive somebody. We dealt a little bit about that last night, and maybe there's a reason he did it again tonight. You need to forgive. You need to forgive and let God do something fresh in you. As they sing, if you need to come, that's the invitation. Would you come? Whether you raise your hand or even if you did it, would you come?